This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Tony Johnston is joining us right now. Clinical and forensic psychologist, licensed private investigator. Her website, workrelationships.com. Joni, let's talk about patterns of behavior here with Rex, if he allegedly is the Gilgo Beach killer, maybe one of many Gilgo Beach killers, quite honestly. The fact that the state of the bodies of the ones that he has been accused of, where they found his hair, where they found his wife's hair, all very similar in their state of being, if you will, on the beach when they were found. Many other bodies on the beach that he's not yet been charged with, may not be charged with, not so much in the same sort of state, not necessarily the burlap sack, some of them very chopped up, very violated, in many pieces spread out along different areas. That part doesn't necessarily seem to jive with the ones that Rex has been accused of murdering. What's the likelihood that if he is this person, that he changed his method of how to dispose of the bodies, where some are dismembered and these ones are not?
You know, I found myself at various points in time going back and forth on this, Tony, because you're absolutely right. On the surface, you look and you kind of go, there's no way this could be the same person, because look at these four young women who are somewhat neatly placed. They're wrapped, they're bound. There's all these things that are just so common among these four. And then you have all these other victims who've been dismembered and their body parts put in different places and those kinds of things. At the same time, I think there's information that is more important that we don't yet know. So I want to know how these other victims died, because we do know that serial killers will change their MO depending upon a lot of different situations, and they also evolve over time. And so if, in fact, for example, these other women, some of whom go back to 1996, we know now because of this latest victim who was identified, if these were earlier victims, is it possible that the same person starting out in their serial killing career was very concerned about being caught and so thought, okay, I'm going to have to dismember people. I'm going to put them in different places. I'm going to do all these things to make sure that after I've done the psychological things that get me off. And that's the missing piece here. We don't know, or I don't know, maybe the detectives do or the investigators, how these other women died. If they died similarly, then that certainly makes me think, yeah, Rex Heuermann, if he's guilty of these other four, is likely guilty of the rest of them as well. But it's certainly possible that just the terms of how these people are placed or these victims are placed does not rule him out for me. Because again, you can see a situation where somebody's starting out, they're very concerned about getting caught. They do all these things to kind of evade or elude law enforcement. And then over time, they start thinking, you know what? I'm not going to get caught. Nobody cares about these victims. I'm too smart for law enforcement. So now what I'm going to do is create my own private graveyard and do the things that I've wanted to do all along, is I'm going to kind of keep them in a place and I'm going to prepare them. I'm going to bury them in a way that suits me psychologically. I can come back and visit if I want. And so he may, if this is the same perpetrator, he may have killed all of these victims in a similar way. I would say not the toddler per se. I think that toddler, unfortunately, was probably collateral damage. And that's a horrible word to use. Sure. But I just think in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah. But the adult victims, if he did it in a similar way, I think that is much more significant than what he did after they died.
Let me ask you this about the psychological perspective of the crime scene and evidence that was left behind. There's been talk for many years about a belt that was left there with the initials WH or HM, depending on how you look at it. Not truly a match to Rex by any means. There is one of the letters of his name on there. But more so than just the belt itself, how often is it that serial killers leave a signature behind, or something that would be traceable back to them? Or does something like this seem more like an accident than it is a calling card?
Yeah, it certainly may have been. I mean, about 50% of the time, the perpetrator leaves DNA behind.
Sure.
So that is certainly something that can be retrieved and hopefully will be in those cases where it's left behind. And then I think aside from that, it really does depend upon the offender and their circumstances. And you're absolutely right. There have been serial killers who did leave calling cards. I'm going to leave my victim with one red sock on, or I'm going to dress him in a certain way, or I'm going to leave certain things behind. Or a lot of times it involves propping and they leave DNA if something falls out. But it isn't very often that they leave a calling card. It may be that, hey, I don't care. Nobody's going to ever connect this belt to me. Or it could just be in some situations, and most likely, where the person inadvertently leaves something behind. It's in the middle of the night. It's dark. They're leaving. They lose their glasses. They can't find them. It starts to get to be light. They leave.
Sure. Can you shed any light onto how someone like this, whether it's him, whoever it is, how does someone like this rationalize their actions internally and are able to switch back and forth from being businessman, family man, and then when wife's out of town, I'm going to go murder hookers?
Well, boy, there's a bunch of different questions in there, Tony. One being, what is the story he tells himself?
Yeah, let's start there.
And that's often, it really is astonishing sometimes in, not all, but some of the very violent inmates I've interviewed, sometimes the rationalization is just astonishing. You kind of sit there kind of going, how do you believe this? It can be everything from, I'm doing society a favor because these women don't matter. These women are doing immoral work, whatever. I deserve this. I'm paying people back for bullying me when I was younger. I mean, it's endless almost.
Okay.
The way that I think some individuals can rationalize and justify what they do. But the common themes often are, it's not my fault. It's the victim's fault. That's the kind of the common denominator a lot of times. This person shouldn't have been doing this. They shouldn't have come with me. Why would they come with somebody they don't know? So it becomes really oftentimes kind of a blame the victim thing. So that's the part of it in terms of the story that this serial killer may have been telling himself or some version of that. Then the other question that I heard you ask is, how could somebody do these kinds of things and then switch into being an architect,
yeah,
a successful architect, or a husband of more than 2 decades, or a father of 2 children. And I think it's an exaggerated version of this kind of compartmentalization that we all experience. And it's an extreme version of that. And it's interesting, I've been on a couple of podcasts with law enforcement officers, and I'll talk about this and they'll kind of go, yeah, I know I was at this homicide scene and there were a couple of children who were murdered. And then it was so devastating that I walked in the door of my house and there are my own children and I have to play, I'm playing with them and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I'm watching myself do this.
Yeah.
So we all wear different roles and we all sometimes have to put our feelings and our desires or whatever in one drawer and then go function and open a different drawer. But this is an absolute extreme version of that. I think it was Ted Bundy who said, I don't understand. I mean, why people think I'm such a bad guy. I'm only a serial killer a small part of the day.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.